You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
So, you know, yeah.
Well, this comes back to what we read in Matthew that Jesus mentioned, that we are supposed to be a city on a hill, a light. You know, who would shine, who would take the light of the gospel and put it underneath a basket? We're supposed to shine it outward. So it can't stay within the four walls of the church alone. It is a great place to hear the gospel. There's no doubt about it. But I think more people come to have saving faith outside the walls of the church in places like campus ministries, where it brought me to a point where I desperately knew I'm a sinner that needs a Savior.
Yeah. So we've got to really support those ministries on campuses. Campus Crusade for Christ.
That's one of
them. Are they still in business?
Yeah.
There's a fellow sitting next to me today. What? That's Youth for Christ. Is that one of them or
not? They do. They work with youth from a variety of churches. They run a campground. I think there's one here on the west side of Vero Beach that they're a part of.
You know, I also want to say this. Like, after the tornadoes hit, you and I went to a neighborhood.
Yes.
So you will never say this to the public, but I can. So there was a neighborhood that was poor of the poor.
Yeah.
And nobody for a while. Now it changed. Red Cross, Salvation Army. Nobody was going there. They were the poorest of the poor.
Yeah.
And so you said, nah, you picked eight families.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very important lesson. You picked eight families and you visit them consistently, bringing them food, diapers, maybe adult diapers for the elderly there, whatever it might be. And I was there that day with you. And so you said, well, I'm trying to cultivate a relationship with those eight people.
You know,
you can't feed the world.
Yeah.
God doesn't expect you to feed the world. Just feed the homeless, hungry person that's in front of you. One.
Yeah.
You can't do it every day, how about one a week? If people can make it, I'm going to help somebody who's hurting one day a week.
You know, a lot of people, they think, I'll only help a ministry that can minister to thousands of people. That means it must be doing more.
1 million.
You know, and I'm like,
no 1 million. There's only 1 million ones.
So
it's a deception.
And of course, you know, there was a ton of families affected by the tornadoes. A lot of people who bought homes, didn't have insurance, whatever, couldn't, you know. But some of these neighborhoods were nicer neighborhoods. I mean, they're gated neighborhoods. And listen, I agree. I think we should help everybody who's been affected by the storm. But the neighborhood we visited, no gated neighborhood. And people could
right
barely.
Right across the street from a gated neighborhood.
You know, right across the street from one. And no one was going there. And I got hurt. I heard about this from a person in our church. I was like, well, let's adopt that community, you know, and let's adopt. And I, you know, we're just a small church, but let's adopt one street out of that whole community there. And the people, when help first arrived, they did a big party on a Saturday and everyone was scared of the group around.
They didn't know their neighbors.
But also, the people who came in to help on this big spurt, they just showed up and then they left the next day. Oh. They never came back.
Oh.
But when they saw me and a few people come in every day, and I got to know their first names, got to know their children, got to know their dog, you know, they were texting me additional things, saying thanks for certain things.
We need shampoo.
Yeah, exactly.
Toilet paper,
development of long-term it has more value, you know, than sometimes these short-term missions. But that's another story for another day.
But this bring us back to the spirit of thanksgiving.
Sure.
Jesus
said, why do we do it anyway?
Jesus said, if you, to he who has shall be given more. This is very complicated. Listen to this. It's a puzzle. To he who has shall be given more, but to he who has not, even that which he has shall be taken. Wait, he just said he didn't have. Hold on. To he who has shall be given more, but to he who has not, even that which he has shall be taken. Now, I can sum this up. Okay, you're my friend. So I got a friend. Oh, thank you for my good friend. And because I'm a friend, I treat you nice, and you're my friend. And then you introduce me to other people, maybe become my friend. Okay. Whereas if I mistreat you as a friend, that which I have shall be, if I have, even more shall be given unto me. But if I don't appreciate what I have, even that which I have, I'm not going to hang out with Red anymore. And then all of a sudden now I've lost you and I've lost that which I had.
Yeah.
So in other words, if we're appreciative, to he who has shall be given more, to he who has not even, guys are befuddled. They go, why did my wife go away? Well, you know, did you appreciate her? Did you appreciate the fact that you had her? To he who has shall be given more. Now your wife, you love your wife. Well, back, guess what she gives you? A home. Guess what she gives you? A family. Women are indicative of love.
Sure.
You give them 25 cents, you always get back 250 change.
Yeah.
No, you do.
Yeah. There's women something
have
to
a,
that.
There's a word in Genesis that shows up later in the Bible about the love that women have for men, and it comes from God. It's a godly love.
Well,
selfless love.
Yeah. And it requires selflessness. Yeah. You know,
and we go along with the whoop and drink and honey, but okay.
Well, you get back to the first Thanksgiving. The true meaning was not just being, you know, a lot of people say the pilgrims were just doing a Thanksgiving meal because the Indians helped them through the winters. That's not why. They were giving thanks to God for all the provisions, including the indigenous people and the fact that they were able to survive another harsh winter. But they always said it comes back to the Lord, not the things around them, not the materials around them. That's not what saved them. They recognized the God of the Bible saved them, and they wanted to acknowledge the God who sent Jesus into the world as like the supremacy of why they were coming to the Americas in the first place. And I think that that's what we should be sharing in our Thanksgiving around the tables as we all gather with families or friends, that this is not just be thankful for food, be thankful for our friends. Yes, those are nice things, but be thankful for God who gives salvation.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich for what the Lord has done. Isn't that a great song?
And speaking of songs, from the book of Psalms, which is a book of songs, one of them says this, Psalm 50, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Psalm 116, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and I will call upon the name of the Lord.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord.
So, a lot of what we have here as we celebrate Thanksgiving is to really...
Let me ask you this. So people come in, it says, God, it's written in the scriptures, God inhabits the praises of his people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we all go to church and maybe in a perfunctory man, bringing in the sheaves, right, bringing in the sheaves, or whatever it is. If you're there, so what is the difference between singing a song and then entering his gates with praise? It's a heart thing, right?
Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So it's both.
Enter his gates with
thanksgiving.
So it starts with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, you're beat up in the world. I've had this happen to me on a Sunday. You go in and you said, you've been beat up in the world. And all of a sudden you go, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I have this sanctuary to go to. And thank you for everything. And thank you for my mom, my dad, whatever you're thanking him for, you know. And then from that, from the thankfulness, then goes into what? Praise.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, glory to the Lord. Thank you. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. And so then it says he inhabits the praises of his people.
If you visited many churches, you'll probably get to notice a trend among all churches. Yes, the first few songs you might sing in a worship service are kind of upbeat. Then there's a moment where we do recognize our sin. And so there's another song that kind of represents that somber mood. So you kind of, you know, you start off with praise and you kind of move into a somber intent, but then the gospel is preached. We're told that God does forgive sinners and that we have a savior. And usually the last song of almost every worship service, any church you might visit, is the highest praise. It is the most upbeat. It's the most joyous part of a service because we are recognizing what God has done and what God wants to continue to do into the world. And so we're sent out with a high praise worship song. It's a natural flow of most worship services. And I think that matches the historical nature of the story of redemption. Even to like the church calendar year, you know, you kind of start in a stark wintry moment of Jesus's birth, but then you get to the high praise of his resurrection at the end of the year. And it's,
you know, it's an odd marriage you and I have, a friendship. I'll tell you why. Because you're a conservative Presbyterian minister, you know? And I'm I'm the on the spectrum a little bit. I paint over the lines. I'm filled with emotion. I'm in the charismatic movement of the Holy Spirit. I've had what I consider miraculous encounters. And, you know, I think both are probably pretty necessary, because I admire people like you that had the gift of administration. If it wasn't for our administrators, you know, like we were with a group today about adoption.
And they foster got the, care, too. Yep.
Foster care. And that's called...
Four kids. Four kids at the Treasure Coast.
That's how you adopted your four children through
them. Yes.
And it's a Christian organization. But they're there, and I'm looking for the heart of the issue. And they're there talking about the facts, which can irritate a person like me, because I'm going like, I want to hear the stories. I want to hear about that little boy who got a bicycle, and it changed his life, and that lady that was there that cared. To me, that's, you know that's Jesus in person. I mean, you know
the ministry of Four Kids is so unique. You know, it's not like... It's not like a paper business where you need machines to cut paper and all that kind of stuff. And so the equipment, or in the hospital, you need all these kind of equipment to do work. The need of Four Kids is you need people to minister to people. I mean, this is how the Lord works. It's not I give a child a pill, he'll be happy. Four Kids is we need individuals who will contribute time invest in children and the families they're from.
By the way, let me ask you this. You know, I was adopted, and it was a mean-spirited man. Okay, no physical abuse, but verbal abuse. Where are the safety nets? Like, for instance, you and your wife now went from an empty house to four foster children to four adopted children. So how do they... Is there a waiting period? How do they know that that you're nice,
well, you know,
kind, good people?
Just like anyone. Yeah, there's a whole slew of background checks, of course, obviously, seeing if... I mean, they were looking 10, 20 years back for a speeding ticket in an HOV lane, you know, or using an HOV lane when you were just one person. That's what it was. And like, you know, they want to say, can you... discuss what was going on in your head about that. You've got to get, you know, 5 to 7 letters of recommendations from individuals. So you can't really be a disconnected person from the world to become a foster parent. You know, there's a lot of people who want to help, but boy, they live on an island. They don't have anyone who would say, you're a good qualified person.
Is there an age limit?
There's no age limit.
I mean, as a 70-year-old, I could adopt?
You can. Oh, 100%.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.